Let me turn my microphone on. We had an incredible weekend. Guys, would you agree that we had an incredible weekend? All right. A lot of testosterone flowing in this service this morning. And so my job this morning is to try to communicate to everyone in here a snippet of what happened this weekend so that you might be inspired through our experience. Because the cool thing is this, is that we draw inspiration from the people around us. I think that's one of the main reasons why we come to church, no doubt, is that you come in here because the world tends to beat us down every week, and we go to church, at least Genesis Metro Church, for as we know that when we go in those doors that there's going to be someone there to shake our hands, to greet us, someone that we can connect with on a community level, and then when we walk into the services, we're going to sing uplifting songs, and then we're going to hear a message while challenging will also encourage us that God has a plan, has a purpose for our lives, and He is able to make greatness out of us if we allow ourselves to it. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about what happened at retreat. First of all, I gave the guys an opening address, and it goes like this, and it's the same for you this morning. My job and the leaders of our church, those that lead out in ministries, we have a simple job. I wouldn't say that maybe, but we have a job that is simplistic in its origin and in its ethos, and that is that our job is to provide opportunities for you. Every week we try to provide opportunities. We provide opportunities on Sundays. We provide opportunities all through the week. We provide opportunities to go on international mission trips. We provide opportunities to go on local mission trips. We serve the homeless down in inner city Dallas on a regular basis. And then we have regular opportunities to serve here in our city of Frisco. And so these opportunities are kind of what pastors' jobs are. So our job, if we do it right, is that we present the Word of God. And the Word of God each week is an opportunity for you. If you receive it, it's like a seed, and it's bearing fruit. It goes down into your soul, and if you allow it to be nurtured by the Spirit, then it produces greatness in your life. And so this morning, we want to provide that same opportunity, the opportunity to hear the power of the message of the cross. The message of the cross is the only message that is able to change the world. And so when you think about that, our men got to experience the cross in a very unique way. Now, leading up to the cross was a very crazy, discombobulated things. And I think that our men have found that one person said, as we were going through this eating challenge, there were some various things, critters and whatnot, that guys had to eat. And one thing was, the thing that seemed to be very difficult was the chicken foot. Because I didn't know it, but apparently they were supposed to eat the meat on the chicken foot. But in GM style, one guy ate the whole chicken foot to start it off with the bones and everything. I was like, well, I guess that can be done. So once it was done, I was like, everybody else was like, you're talking, I got to eat the bones? I'm like, yeah, this other guy did it. You can do it. Trust me. The guy's just sitting there just chewing and chewing and chewing. It was awesomeness. And someone looked at me, he's like, you take too much pleasure in this. And so they had an eating challenge, and in the eating challenge, they had to do a basketball shots, and then they had an eating station. They had three eating stations, and you know, we knew that there would see some people are like, you know, well, I forfeit. The other team wins because they were racing against another team. We're like, oh, yes. But the loser has to drink a smoothie that has milk, serrano pepper, earthworm, cow tongue, goldfish, and then occasionally at the end when I had extra surplus of items, cricket, you know, some other things I'm not even going to mention here this morning, but various parts of pork. And so, anyway, it was an incredible retreat, and these guys had to eat this stuff, it was amazing because you say, well, Tim, are you just doing this to be like sensational or something like that? No, I promise you I'm not. And the leaders that met for retreat, I told the guys, we are not going to ask our men to do anything that we are not ourselves willing to do. And we went up there and we drank that same concoction that we asked you guys to drink the week before retreat started. So know this, I have tasted your pain. And so the reason why we do stuff like that is because I believe all men need to be pushed. Now, the truth of the matter is, all of us, men, women, children, we all need to be pushed, because when we're not pushed, we always tend toward comfort, because nobody likes to, like, you know, somebody just pushing them forward all the time. So if we're left to our own devices and we don't have mentors or coaching or spiritual leadership in our life, we tend to get comfortable, and then that comfortability leads to complacency. And this morning, maybe you are struggling with complacency in your life, complacency in your marriage, complacency in your walk with God. And I hope that this message this morning might be an encouragement to you and a challenge. Maybe some inspiration will be drawn from the experiences that we had this weekend. So this message is not for the people that went to the retreat. This message is for anyone who wants to hear about how God can make their life better. And so they went through this eating challenge, and I told them that the reason why we're doing this is because if you're going to live a relentless lifestyle, there is many obstacles to being relentless. And if you're not willing to do the things that you don't want to do, you will never be a successful person. You won't be successful in your corporate life. You won't be successful in your marital life. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you've been married for 2 months, you know that marriage is not easy. Can I get an amen? Anybody going to say amen? It is work. It is work. It is work. It doesn't mean that you're saying that the person beside you is hard to deal with or hard to live with or is cranky when they're hungry or anything like that. But truth of the matter is, we all have some flaws, right? We all have some imperfections that we're working on. And if we're not willing to do the hard task of communication, of understanding, of mercy, of having a love that does not bear record and keep score of the last time that you failed, if we're not willing to allow God to change us and to go through those difficult things, then we'll never be successful. Parenting. Is parenting easy? Is that like parenting? Oh, yeah, it's simple. Never have any difficulties whatsoever. Does anybody have that experience? I don't think so. And so if you're not going to be relentless in your pursuit of parenting, how in the world are you going to be successful if you're not going to have difficult conversations? Or if you haven't already prepared yourself by learning what God's word says about aiming children in the way that they should go, how are you going to be able to direct them through this jungle that we're living in, through this war zone that is the internet and the school system? And so just encourage you this morning that relentless is something that is a lifestyle. And we told our guys that, yeah, this is just one way that we want you to experience that. I know that no one wanted to eat a cricket or a goldfish or corn offal? Yeah, there you go. It was some corn fungus. That's what it was, corn fungus. I don't even know I didn't know that existed, but it didn't look appetizing. Some guy said it, what was really funny, somebody was, oh, really not that bad. And I was like, yeah. Well, never cook for me, sir. And so anyway, we put them through that to demonstrate that in order to be relentless, you have to be willing to push through difficult things. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. He said, I'm not saying that I have it all figured out. I'm not saying that I still don't struggle. So Paul is not coming from an area of self-exaltation. He says, but I press on to make it my own. And what is my inspiration? What is my motivation? He says, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the mark, toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. That was our theme for this weekend. And we played a clip from the movie Any Given Sunday, which Al Pacino incredibly describes that life is just a game of inches. And in order for us to be successful as a team, every man has to decide in his heart that he's willing to die to get that inch. And that he has to be able to look to the guy beside him and realize that when he looks across, he's going to find a guy that's willing to go with him to get that inch. And I thought, man, isn't that what Christianity is all about? That we're all just trying to get one inch for God. That in our marriage, we're trying to take one more inch. In our parenting, we're trying to take one more inch. In our career, we're trying to get one more inch. And all we're trying to say is that in life, if all of those inches aren't pointed towards something greater, then you're missing the point of life. That it's the kingdom and the glory of Christ that all of these inches have to be aimed at, or you're going to miss the mark. In other words, if your life is aimless, if I were to ask you a question, let's probe for just a little bit. Right now, would you say that your career, because most men are dominated by their career, is your career aimed at bringing glory to Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, before Paul was a preacher, he'd done all these other things, and then while he was a preacher, he had a side job. So even in his job, he was able to figure out a way to bring glory to Christ. So in other words, when you're earning your gain in life, whenever you're earning the things that are making you famous or making you fulfilled, are those bringing glory to Christ? Because at some point, you have to come to this realization that Jesus Christ is worthy, that he's worthy in every respect. He's worthy of your life. He's more important than your career. He's more important than your family. He's more important than your marriage. He's more important than your children. Now you say, Tim, that sounds harsh. I mean, I thought that it was supposed to be family first. Let me explain something to you. If you don't put Christ on the throne of your life, then you'll not get all the rest of those relationships right. You will get in the way of what God's best is for your marriage, for your parenting, and for your career. So what I'm trying to say is you have to prioritize. You have to say, my goal, my aim is Christ. And if you aim toward Christ, if you claw for an inch for Christ in your life every day, I promise you, you will experience in your marriage and with your children, with your family, with every aspect of your life, you will experience God's absolute best. And that's why we're saying that Jesus Christ is worth it. After they went through this concoction that we had created of events, we came out to a field. And on this field lay 12 crosses, 12 rugged crosses like this one right here. And I don't know how much they weigh. I think we had them about 200 pounds-ish. And we told our guys that today we want you to experience something very unique, something that very, very few people have ever had this experience in their life. And we want you to be able to carry a cross similar to the one that Jesus Christ bore 2,000 years ago for your sins. And we told them, we explained to them, we want you to feel the weight. Because if you don't feel the weight of Christianity, then you'll never understand what it's all about. Because many of us understand that our salvation is free. The Bible says that our salvation is a gift from God. It wasn't free to God. It cost God his only begotten son. It cost God everything to pay for our salvation. But he offers it as a gift to us. He says it's free. If you'll accept it, I'll give it to you. You just call upon the name of Christ, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he says, I will give you eternal life. So salvation is free, but Christianity comes at a cost. You see, he said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, you have to take up your cross and follow after me. Many Christians have never understood the weight of worship, the weight of following after Christ. And so we told our men, we wanted you to carry this cross, and we want you to carry it as far as you can. And so men began to lift, and their leaders would walk beside them. And then it's like spontaneity happened. I love when God does spontaneous things. Has anybody ever been a part of when God does something spontaneous? I mean, because next thing you know, of course, GM style, they don't exactly follow orders very well. But we told the leaders to take the guys out. The next thing you know, there's like green team. They do everything together, apparently. And so they're all like around their guys, and they're all like, you know, helping them carry the cross, and they're doing all kinds of things that were against the rules, but that's okay. And so they're speaking encouraging words, and some other guys are doing their own thing and doing it differently, and one whole team was carrying the cross, you know, at one point. And so there was all these spontaneous things that were going on, but truth and life were coming from men while other men were carrying a burden. And I guarantee you, none of those men would have went as far as they did without the encouragement being spoken into them as they took every step, step by step. What is the lesson in that for all of us? We all are called to carry our cross. We're all called to bear the weight of the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. But as we walk, if you don't have a church, if you don't have a sisterhood, a brotherhood, a community that is around you, speaking encouragement, speaking life, challenging you to progress just one inch because it's worth it to carry the weight, then you are never going to go as far as you would have without that encouragement. And so here were these guys just going, all right, they're just going. And I want to share some quotes that I heard. I was polling the participants later on, and I saw one guy that was gritting his teeth, just biting down, just going after it, right? And I afterward, I was like, man, what were you thinking about? He goes, I just wanted to be broken. I just wanted to be broken. And I was like, God, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about getting to the end of ourselves. Jesus actually said it like this. He said, if any man desires to find his life in me, then he has to lose it to himself. If you're willing to lose your life, he said, you'll find it. He said, but if you hold on, as many of us do, if we hold on to control, if we hold on to our past, if we hold on to our pride, he said, you won't find your life. He said, you'll never find life if you continue to hold on to control. So here were these men walking down there. And I hear this one guy, Andy Stavros, he's kind of a big guy, and like me. And so he was, you know, he was coming down through there, and dude, I don't know what lap he was on. It was like a 70-yard field, and I was amazed. I don't know, some guys, it looked like they went 5 or 6 times. And so he was like going down through there, and he's like, oh, and then like, dude, it's like this bellow voice came out. He was like, thank you, Jesus. And I was like, oh my gosh. So as he's carrying the cross, he's thinking about Jesus carrying the cross for him and his sin. Isn't that a credible lesson worthy? I mean, golly, do you realize that Jesus Christ bore that for you 2,000 years ago? And so these men were going back and forth, and they were carrying their crosses, and inspiration was happening, and there's something in the air once you start involving the cross and representing Jesus Christ. And guys would carry the cross till they broke, and then several of them like literally fell to their knees and began to weep out there on this field. You say, well, that doesn't sound very like grown man macho-esque out there to be crying in front of a group of men. And all I have to say is when you encounter Christ and realize what he did for your sins, it will bring you to brokenness. It will bring you to tears because you appreciate that you could only go so far. The strongest of our men could only go so far. But then they had the out. You see, every man had the ability to choose when he was done. Unlike our Savior. You see, Christ did not have an out in his clause. In order for us to be saved, Jesus had to go all the way to the end. He had to breathe his last and proclaim just before giving up his spirit, it is finished. Jesus was willing to go the extra inch to save us. He was willing to spill his blood and die on a cross for our sins. Paul said, as a result of his sacrifice, whatever I was in my past, I am now letting go of that. He said, forgetting what is behind, I am now straining to what is before. And what is before? The mark of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Galatians, he said it like this. He said, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world is crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, because of Jesus and his sacrifice, I am saying goodbye to what I used to be. I'm saying goodbye to what I was. Everything in me that before I met Christ is now dead. It's gone. My identity is now in Christ. It's no longer what I want, it's what he wants. This morning, I hope that you would understand the power of the cross. We had 5 gentlemen that showed up to our retreat that did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And on the very first night, after we had talked about taking that inch and the importance of Jesus Christ, a guy accepted Christ the first night. It was like, boom. And as soon as the invitation was given, he went up to his leader. He's like, I need to be saved. Boom. Salvation right there. First night. All right. Second morning, I'm walking out of the deck, and I look over, and I see some real intense, like, talk going on, and I just, you know, kind of move over. I don't want to, you know, interrupt that. And then I come back over, and he's like, hey, that guy just got saved. I was like, wow, great. And so salvation was happening left and right, and then we got to the end Friday night, and one of the leaders told me that he was interviewing one of his guys, and he said, you know, so do you have a relationship with Christ? And we do like a one-on-one interview in the middle of the day on Friday, and he said, you know, I just don't think I can. Maybe because of my past, maybe whatever it was. He's like, you know, I just don't think that I can do that. And I appreciate that. Many of us, because of our sin, we feel unworthy of salvation, and we even feel at times like, if I could just get it together, then I could come before God. Because in my state that I am, I feel guilt and I feel shame. And if I brought that before God, he might reject me. Maybe even perhaps like others have. And so this guy went through this exercise of carrying his cross without knowing Christ. Now, just wrap your mind around that for just a moment. That if you were carrying that weight, knowing that there was no substitute for you, that you would have to bear that weight for all of eternity apart from God. We got to Friday night. Invitation time. We didn't really have an invitation time. We didn't really have a sermon. We just had a worship service. I don't really know how to explain what that looked like, but guys were singing, and there was talking, and things were happening, and people came spontaneously, and we had a cross like this, and people started kneeling at this cross, and I saw this gentleman. He came down, and he was kneeling at the foot of the cross, and his guys gathered around him, and he looked at his leader, and he said, I'm ready. And the guy was saved literally at the foot of the cross. Is that not incredible? I literally felt like chapters of a book were being written, and we could call it the lore of 2014 men's retreat. And it was an amazing experience, our best retreat that I've ever been a part of, not because it was more complicated or funny or goofy or whatever, although we had all of that, but because I believe that we the level of worship that we attained was directly proportionate to us saying that Jesus Christ is worthy. And that men experienced his glory and they understood the price that he paid for their salvation. And as a result, there is a desire to reciprocate in that relationship. The last story I'll tell you, the one that perhaps I think a lot of people drew inspiration from, we have a guy named Vincent, and he's bound to a... We'll put the graphic up. He's bound to a wheelchair. And when it was time to carry the crosses, my assumption was that Vincent was not going to participate. And I'm standing out on the field, and there's 100 guys moving around, you know, and next thing I know, I see a guy in a wheelchair with a cross strapped to his back and his team moving down the field, and they're carrying the cross to the point that he's not feeling it, and he says, stop doing that. I want to feel the weight of the cross. Now, just let that blow your mind for a moment, that if a guy who has every reason in the world to not participate, has every out card in the world to not do it, is willing to go out there and give it his all, doesn't this rob us of all excuses? Doesn't this rob us of any part of us that would shrink back in fear or in insecurity? Shouldn't this inspire us to say, if Vincent is willing to carry his cross, what is our excuse not to? We should be willing to say, Jesus is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of honor and glory and praise. I'm going to ask our band to come out, and we're going to have a time of reflection. And maybe you would be inspired this morning to simply pray, God, I would like to make Jesus Christ first in my life. I would love to renew my commitment in the relationship. Would you guys bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the message of the cross. We thank you for the inspiration of those who were lost in their sins, as we all have once been, and were willing to say yes to the forgiveness and the salvation and the eternal life that your Son paid for on the old rugged cross. God, we come before you now in this moment, realizing that it is all important for us to take up our cross. That if we could just get us out of the way, everything in our life would be better. God, you promised an abundant life. And I would just ask every audience member this morning to consider, are you experiencing what God has to offer? Until you let go and until you lose yourself in Christ, you'll never know how good it could be. This morning, I hope this message has inspired you, that these men carried their crosses. These men pushed until they were broken. These men were willing to bear the weight of their crosses, and I know it had a transformational impact on their lives. You say, well, Tim, is this message just for the guys that went? No. Here's the thing. I was inspired when I watched Vincent. I was inspired when I heard Andy. I was inspired when I heard this guy say, I want to be broken. I was inspired by their experience. And everyone in this room, if you would receive it, you could have the same inspiration from the stories that you've heard this morning. It's just an opportunity. Take it if you want it. Would you stand at this time while we have this moment of reflection and worship with us, our Savior?